This is Summer Sound on AM 1450 and KBPS.AM. Right now, we are here with a really exciting guest, the arena announcer for Portland's hockey team, the Winter Hawks, Michael Burrows. Michael is going into his fourth season with over 100 games under his belt. The 2025-26 season will be special as it's the team's 50th season with a huge remodel for their home at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for spending your precious time with us today. We know you're very busy.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So we got a couple questions lined up for you. How did you become the arena announcer for the Winter Hawks?
Well, it's kind of a long story in a way, but also very short. The crux of it was I got my demo reel as such into the hands of the game ops director at Winter Hawks, the Winter Hawks front office, and they were in the position of wanting to replace, or they needed to find a replacement for their existing PA announcer of 13 years, who was taking a break away to be more with family. And so basically my information got into the right place at the right time, and they brought me in to work with them, and then it all worked out.
Awesome.
Hey, Michael, it's Sydney from KBPS. And let me just say, I mean, you're sounding great, man. You really got that cadence. You really got that on-air announce. Like, you sound great.
Oh, thank you.
But I know you've played a lot of, you've casted a lot of games. But what has been your favorite game to announce in your career?
I think probably the most epic game that I got to announce was the season before. We had a moment where, one of my favorite things is to announce milestone goals, and there was a moment where Gabe Claussen assisted James Stephon. So Gabe Claussen assisted him for his 200th career point on James Stephon's 100th career goal.
Wow.
And it was just to be able to put those two things together and announce it in the same sequence for a goal read, that was really fun. The fans went crazy.
Yeah.
Other than that, would have been, there was a game once where we had two hat tricks, and so by the end of the second hat trick, after the first hat trick, no one had any more hats to throw on the ice, but after the second hat trick was announced, there was just kind of this, you saw like one cap go flying over, maybe they forgot to throw it after the first hat trick, but it was just awesome to see that celebration. And I think that the front office put together a big collection of hats anyways for that player, because they were kind of bummed not to get any hats.
Mm.
How funny.
I know with home games, a lot of sports like to do like theme nights. So we were wondering, what Winter Hawks theme night do you enjoy to announce?
So the most epic theme night, well, I just had to ask, have any of you been to the Teddy Bear Toss?
I've heard about it. I've seen it online.
If I'm honest, I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Michael.
No, it's okay. We got to change that, but it's okay. and it's still okay. But if you went to any game just to experience something unique and amazing, the Teddy Bear Toss is completely, it's just a spectacle. So to give it a little bit of a premise, the WHL, the CHL donates tons of teddy bears to children's hospitals. And the way that works is essentially everyone brings teddy bears, similar to like a toy drive or a food drive or something, but instead of giving them to, like putting them in a bin in the concourse or handing them to a person who collects it from them as they walk in, they wait until the Winter Hawks score their first goal, and then everyone throws their teddy bears onto the ice.
Oh.
And everyone brings more than one bear. So there's like five or six bears per person. One person brought like a nine-foot tall stuffed giraffe that literally sat next to them in the front row last season. So they basically like shoved it up over the wall when it happened. But just to be in that avalanche of teddy bears just cascading down onto the ice, and no one can throw it from the top row all the way down, so people are picking them up and throwing them. That is definitely the most momentous theme night to be a part of. And from my perspective on Game Ops Row, with like the laptop and everything we have there, the microphone, you have to like, you announce the goal and then you just cover everything up and protect it from getting hit by flying teddy bears, because they can cause some damage.
Yeah, I love how interactive the theme night's going to be.
Mm. Yeah, also Where's Waldo night is kind of amazing, because there's thousands of people dressed as Waldo in the stands.
Found Waldo.
Yeah. We're trying to break the record, the Guinness record. I think one time the closest we were, there wasn't an actual Guinness official there to check it.
Oh.
And then since then, I don't think we've reached that same like upper peak of Waldo's in the crowd. So we're trying to get back to there and then get a official Guinness person there to double check it.
So now, Michael, what's your typical routine on a game day?
So game day is, I receive the script sometime mid-afternoon, so I'll take a break. During the day, I have a day job, and I'll take a break from that, and I will review the script, see if there's any tricky names to pronounce. If I can't figure it out, I'll look up an interview with that player to get them saying their own name so I know I'm going to be saying it correctly. And then get to the VMC about half an hour before our pregame meeting, which is about 2 hours, which is 2 hours before puck drop. Mm-hmm. And so then we have a pregame meeting. We go over all the events. On the way in, I'll be doing enunciation exercises and just doing some vocal warm-ups. And then... yeah, then the game starts, and once that happens, you know, 2.5 hours, 3 hours of hockey, and then I usually wrap things up and go and have a little debrief with the team just to talk about what went down, and that's about it, but it's a lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Yeah, I know us here, sometimes when we get behind the mic, we get a little nervous, or sometimes we get a little excited, so I'm just curious, what was your first game behind the mic like?
So, still, like with any sort of... performing in front of crowds, I still get butterflies before player intros. So, like, it's just before the intros and the players come in and the smoke machines, like, you know, fire up and they come running in. Like, that's where it's, like, the most energy and the most excitement, but it's also where it's, like, the nerves are there. And sometimes I'll do some breathing, just some long, slow breaths, getting ready for it, kind of stretch out a little bit to make sure I'm relaxed to do the best possible announcement as I can. But yeah, it can be, there can be stressful moments. Sometimes things will change mid-read. So I'm on a headset like this, and then I'm speaking to the PA mic, but in the headset, there's other voices coming in talking about updates. And sometimes in the middle of a read, there'll be someone saying, oh no, actually, it's this. And so in mid-read, hopefully I haven't gotten to the part I need to adjust yet, but when I get to that, I'll have to interchange it with the new information I've been given. It's, the cool thing is, it's kind of similar to inside of a radio studio. There's just a big team of people making it all happen. There's the show caller, there's the DJ, there's lights, there's the video room. We call it the blockhouse where all the replays are coming from. And so everyone's in collaboration. The PA announcer is probably the most obvious, noticeable part of the team, but there's just a huge group of people making the game night performance take place.
Is there anything you do to keep your voice strong and healthy through a long season?
Definitely do warm-ups beforehand. I like to sing, and so I'll be like just, you know, kind of playing some mellow songs throughout when the team's on a road trip, just to keep my vocal cords going. Mm-hmm. Definitely try not to overdo it. There's sometimes when you really want to like just do like a monster truck like announcement, really like to bring the bass and the gravel, but you have to do that a very, very specific way to not actually damage your vocal cords.
Right.
Sometimes it'll still happen anyways, just because something happens that's so momentous. But in general, just know your range of your voice and trust the sound system and the DJ to give you enough volume so you're not trying to essentially do with your voice what the speakers and the amplifiers should be doing for you. You should be okay.
Yeah, so we're going to off-road just a little bit here. We discovered, yeah, you are a PA announcer, but you are also a musical artist. We discovered your album from 2021 on Bandcamp called Sometime Soon. So we're just wondering, how did you get into music and songwriting?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I always sort of wrote songs and poetry when I was a kid, and then in college I started singing along, started singing some of these songs, and then I went to Australia for a study abroad in college, and I was in my first band there where I just sang, and we mainly just did covers. We did just do covers, but the lead guitarist was this German guy, and he would veto songs that we really wanted to do, like I wanted to do Wild World by Cat Stevens, and he'd be like, no, this song is silly, and I was like, what? No, it's good, and then like the night of the gig, we couldn't do it, and so I determined, like, I'm going to learn to play guitar, so I can sing whatever I want to, and then as I was learning to play guitar, I started like realizing, oh, I can start putting these lyrics of mine to the guitar, you know, that I'm learning. And it was really fun. And then I was in a couple bands in Portland. And then I moved to California. I was in a band there. And then now I'm just kind of more solo. I might play with my uncle or my friend, just duets here and there. But yeah, so it's fun to do too.
Yeah, sounds a lot of fun. But we've also learned on your introduction on the Winterhawks website that you have a career in theater and acting. What has been your favorite production to work on?
Wow, let's see. My favorite production, I would say it's a tie between, these are actually both radio plays. One was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, done at Twilight Theater. And then one was a fiction podcast I'm a recurring character on, called Exoplanetary, and they had a live taping also at Twilight Theater. And those, I think, that special Actually, also the recently I was in the Christmas Carol, a rendition of the Christmas Carol done this last holidays, which is a lot of fun too.
So we were wondering, are there any volunteer or job opportunities at the Winterhawks for maybe like young adults or adults or maybe even children?
Well, they definitely use volunteers to clean up all the teddy bears that come out on the teddy bear toss under the ice. But that's just a one-night thing. Beyond that, there are internship roles available to be helping with various functions of game operations and just hockey operations during the games. Because oftentimes they need people running things from place to place, bringing fans from place to place who are about to like be in like a fan contest or they won something. So they have to meet them and take them around the arena. And I think those opportunities are actually on the website. And so, like, those roles are super crucial, and you also learn what it's like to work for a sports team during game nights and during that presentation and how that all goes and see if it's something you want to, like, look into doing more in the future and be more involved with either the Winterhawks or other teams.
Cool.
I mean, you heard it here first, but what's some advice if you would like to give to someone wishing to get into sports announcing?
I would say just get started. Start doing it with, if there's a team that you like to follow and they don't have an announcer, say it's like it could be high school or even a middle school team. I don't know if middle schools tend to have like the PA systems there, but just starting to announce for teams where they need someone to do it, just to get in there and just start getting experience doing it, practicing the way you say certain things. And I think that's just the best way to get it going. And then you'll get feedback from people and learn like what works and what doesn't. And I think you can just build on that over time.
I'm kind of thinking of a follow-up question for that question. Do you think that like sports casting would also be a good start? Because I know that Benson, for example, offers that.
Well, definitely, yeah. you mean like play-by-play announcing?
I believe so.
Yeah, they're two very different things, but they're closely related. But I think both of those, I know some folks do both. And if you can do play-by-play announces, you can probably definitely do PA announcing. I think going the other direction is a little more difficult because there's a lot more to play-by-play announcing. But yeah, I think being involved in a curriculum that has to do with sports casting or any kind of sports announcing would be helpful for sure.
Cool. Well, Michael, is there anything else that we should know about you that we didn't talk about or anything you'd like to mention?
I think you pretty much covered. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, that's a wrap on today's interview again. Thank you, Michael, for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
This is Summer Sound live on AM 1450 KBPS and KBPS.AM. Thank you for listening.